Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. And before I get started, I will apologize ahead of time if it seems like I'm getting emotional and like I keep telling the doctor and everybody else. Ever since I got out of the hospital, even a little bit while I was in the hospital, I was very much emotional. I know Brother Gary Seaman and I were joking around, and he said that, I don't need to fall down. I'm going to lose my balance here. But he said that more than likely, he said, you just got too much women's blood instead of no man's blood, and said, you got all estrogen. And he said, that just answers everything right there. So I'll kind of agree with him sometimes. But I talked to my cancer doctor, and he said, just what I've been through, he said, you can't expect not to be emotional. And he said, it just isn't you're going to have to deal with. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 30. Brother Herdman contacted me yesterday afternoon and asked me if I would teach. And he said that Steve was still sick. He did not give any details about Brother Steve. But hopefully we need to pray for him. Need to pray for, we've got a lot of sickness in this church. Devil's working overtime. So we need to think of someone to pray about or several to pray about. But we need to, we need to really reach out to God in prayer and seek His face on that to help them. And because I know when I was in the hospital and everything, I looked at Brother Herdman and I said, how many more are on this floor? And I think at the time there were four other people on the floor along with me. And I thought, this is not a good following. I said, there's better ways to follow somebody than to the hospital. I won't dwell on that a whole lot if I can stay away from it. But Psalms chapter 30, God kind of laid this upon my heart. As I've been doing my Bible reading and everything the last few weeks, I kind of stumbled across this. Not really stumbled across it, I read it. And the Lord really pricked my heart about it and spoke to me. And it is about David, and not only with his sickness, but also the sins that he had committed and everything with Bathsheba and all the other things that were going on with him and that, and he was hurting. And it's kind of an example to us, okay? It is something that if we can understand about this few verses that we're going to go over this morning, then maybe it'll help us. And I kept wondering, I kept talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me strength to do this. You're going to have to give me the strength to go through these verses. Because not only is this about David and about his life, it matches up with mine 100%. So I kind of cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, is this what you want? And if this is what you want, then you're going to have to help me. I know I want to say one thing before I forget. I appreciate Brother Danny and all the others in here. I mean, I had so many cards and letters and everything. I know I've said it before, but I'd like to say it again for all the prayers. And don't stop praying for everybody, and don't stop praying for me, because my leukemia can come back. The other thing the doctor can say is, I'm a walking miracle. But anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick, and then we'll see what we have to see in God's Word. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you now, not under my own power. I don't want to be up here for anything because of me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask now that you would just use me. Speak your word through me. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, dear Heavenly Father, that needs to hear your word and to be strengthened by what we're going to be covering this morning. Or maybe they're not going through it yet, but dear Heavenly Father, maybe down the road they will be. Only you know. Only you know what's there for our lives. But I pray to Heavenly Father, I can't do it without you. Give me wisdom, clarity of thought, and the words to say. For I ask all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And the interesting part about it, if you've known me in times past before I went into the hospital, when I got up here or was somewhere else, I was always wearing glasses. And I've got my glasses in my pocket, but the chemo has changed my eyesight. And in one way, it's good. Because I can actually read close up without my glasses now. But I sacrifice something else. For me to look to the back of the room, it's a little blurry back that way. Now my eyesight got reversed. In other words, before I was where I could see far away without a problem in the world, but close up is what I needed my glasses for. But now it's reversed. I can see close up. I can sit down and read my Bible without my glasses. I'll put them on because it kind of magnifies it a little bit. But I actually get a headache if I put my glasses on. And the funny part of it is, before I went into the hospital, I actually had a brand new pair of glasses made. I've worn them once. And I didn't take them to the hospital with me. And now that I've been out, I told Sheila, I said, I don't even know why I had them made. And I said, they're worthless. And I'm afraid to go to the eye doctor, but I need to. And I asked Sandy Cox, I said, did your eyesight change when you went and had chemo? And she said, oh yeah. She said, my eyesight changed about 3 times during that time. So I'm adjusting to that. So if you see me squinting a little bit, you know why. But let's go to Psalms chapter 30, and let's begin in verse 1. Okay, the lighting's here. I may have to put them on just to help me out here. If I can get them adjusted in. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 1. I will extol thee. And that word extol means I will highly praise thee. In other words, David's talking and he's saying, I'm going to just really pour out my praise to you. And then we look and see why. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made me, or it has not made my foes to rejoice over me. In other words, he was praising God for the fact that whatever circumstances David was going into right then, God had lifted him up and had healed him and taken care of his problem, and his enemies couldn't laugh at him anymore. They couldn't put him down and say, hey, your God don't care about you anymore. Your God isn't going to answer your prayers. Your God isn't going to take and do what you're asking him to do. But in this verse, he's saying, I'm going to lift you up and praise you for the fact that you've lifted me up and taken care of something. Look at verse 2. And this is where we really want to get into God's word this morning. And this is where it started getting hard for me. Okay? And as we read it, you'll understand. And it says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. When I started reading that, my heart was broken. Because of the fact that, just like David, he'd cried out, and it wasn't just a physical, excuse me, it wasn't just a physical ailment with David. It was also the fact of all the sins he'd been through and everything else, and you know, he'd committed and that, and they were heavy on his heart, and he wanted healed from both of it. He wanted forgiven for his sins, and he wanted healed physically. And the interesting part is, it says the fact that he called upon God, and God doesn't say he heard, it said he answered. He healed him. And I want you to think about something this morning. And I'm bad for this too. I'm not, and I'm like brothers. Dr. Spurgeon, I was reading his commentary on this when I was working on it, and he's not a big fan of doctors. And I say, hey, all right, brother, you're right there with me. I'm not a big fan of doctors either, but there's a place and purpose for all of them. But there's something that we need to take into consideration, and that is the fact of, don't go to the doctor first, but do like David did, and that in fact, go to God first. Let him help with it. Let him figure things out, and then he'll point you in the right direction otherwise. And I say that coming from my own situation. And that was the fact that I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know what was happening to me. I hadn't seen a doctor in 30 years. But all I know is I was getting weaker. Didn't have a clue what was going on. And Sheila, being the good wife she is, finally twisted my arm enough that I managed to get into the hospital, and they found out, and when they did, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. I didn't know there was that many doctors and nurses messing with one patient in my life, because they were all over me. And they were trying to save my life. And they didn't. Even the nurse, it was kind of funny. The nurse came out to take blood from me, and then she came back out and took some more, and then she came back out and took some more. And while she was out there, she told my wife, she said, his blood ain't right. She could see it in the vial. And so that's when I started taking it to God, because I needed help. I'd never been in a hospital in my life, never needed one. Went in outpatient a little bit, but that was it. But I needed to turn it over to God. But the nice part about it was I turned it over not only to God, but I told everybody here, or had the preacher tell everybody here so they could pray for me, and I appreciate that. And even the kids up in primary church were praying for me. And that brought everything together for God to put me with the right doctor in the right hospital at the right time. And everything came together. And like David is talking about here, he's saying in that second verse, he's saying, I cried unto you and you healed me. All of you in here and me as well, we've cried out to God, not only for me, but the other ones in here that are have cancer and other illnesses and stuff like that. And God hears. And in my case, God gave a blessing and he healed me. Yes, I have to stay on a chemo pill the rest of my life just so it don't come back. But he healed me. Not because I deserved it, not because I'm a young man, not because of the fact that I have anything special, but God's still got a purpose for me. And just like David, he said, I cried out unto the Lord, and he healed me. Let's look down at verse 3 now. And I want us to remember something. Whatever you're going through, if you haven't gone through it yet, okay, let me bring this out. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe it is not as severe as what I went through. Maybe you're not going to spend 6 weeks in the hospital. And it was only by God's grace that I made it through it. Because I know Brother Herdman was getting ready to leave my room one day. I'd only been in there a little over a week. And I said, Brother, I said, would you pray for me? I said, I'm getting claustrophobic already. I said, they won't let me out of my room. They won't let me see anybody other than you and my wife, and because I'm in quarantine, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. They're telling me I'm going to be in here 6 weeks. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But he helped me through it. But whatever you're going through, whatever situation you're in right now, or it may be the fact that you're not even dealing with it yet. Just like me last year at this time, I would have said, that ain't going to happen to me. I'd have said last February, there ain't no way I'm going to be in the hospital in March. No way. It's just something minor. Only God knows. And we need to be like David when that happens and just turn it over to him and say, Lord, this is coming my way. Or if it is coming my way, stand in the gap. Help me through it. Provide what I need. Point me in the right direction of the doctors. Right now, we need to pray for my wife. It's like I was telling Brenda Vickers this morning, it went from me, got me healed, got my cancer gone. Then all of a sudden, once she got back to work again, now she's got a problem. And we think she's got lupus. And we're trying to get her into a rheumatologist. Let's see, I think the appointment is in July. It's crazy. But anyhow, the Lord has worked it out to where she's got medicine that's helping her and stuff like that. But we need to pray that the Lord works something out where she can get in, get a specialist, and get the help she needs now. But if you'd have told us this time last year, I'd have laughed at you and said, nah, that ain't going to happen. Oh, come on, everything's fine, everything's great. This ain't going to happen in our lives. you know. And I'm sure David felt the same way. And that is the fact, oh, that ain't going to happen. But look on a little bit farther. Let's go down to verse 3. In verse 2 it says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought me up from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Now that's a strong statement. That's not just talking about his physical ailment. That's also talking about his soul. Because there's two contexts in there. One, it says, you saved me from the grave. You allowed me to stay alive. And then the next one, it says, you've kept me from going down to the pit, or in other words, going to hell. You have forgiven my sins. You have taken my sins away. You have washed my sins away so I don't have to worry about them anymore. And when I saw that part about the fact of, when it says, you saved me from the grave. Not only did he heal him, but he saved him from dying and going into the grave. When I was in the hospital in the bed, and I don't know how many people I've told about it, but the doctor looked at me, and Brother Herdman was there, and my wife was there, and he says, I'm going to give you 6 weeks to live. And that's it. He says, I've got three medicines that's going to help you, or it's not. He said, I don't have any confidence that any of them are going to do anything for you. He said, you got a 20% chance that anything's going to help you. But here David is talking, and he's saying, you kept me back from the grave. You took me from the grave. I was headed towards the grave. I was headed to where I was going to die. I was going to go to the grave. And like he said in there, you kept me alive. Well, I can shout hallelujah to that. Hey, I was headed in that direction. I was laying in a hospital bed, and when you never know what it's like until you have a doctor stand at the foot of your bed and tell you you're going to die. You never know. I always wondered, you know, what that experience would be like. I didn't really want to have to go through it. But like David said, you kept me back from the grave. And I can shout hallelujah and glory to God. He did the same for me. He kept me back from the grave. But the nice part of it is, all the time that I was sitting in that hospital bed, just like David, he said, you also kept me from hell. You've forgiven my sins. You've washed away all my sins, all the things that I've done wrong. When I was sitting in the hospital, the hope I had was the fact, okay, Lord, you take my life. I'm yours. By the word, by your precious word, you said, if I'm saved, if I'm trusting in the Lord, I don't have to worry about death. And I didn't. It bothered me at times, and it still does. But just like David, he sat there and said, you kept me alive, you kept me from the grave, you've forgiven my sins. Excuse me. And look at that verse again. He says, you have brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. Why do you think he kept him alive? He kept him alive because he had something for him yet to do. Like Ron and I were talking this morning, if God puts you through something like this, like he's put me through, why he kept me alive, I don't know. But like him and I were talking, that's the fact is, God ain't through with me yet. I don't know why. And I keep asking him, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And I'm sure David was the same way. He's saying, man, you kept me up, you kept me alive, you kept me back from hell, you kept me back from all of that. What do you want to do with my life? And David was probably crying out to him and saying, Lord, here I am, I'm yours. You do with what you want with me. You direct me, you guide me, you show me. And I don't know what God wants for me. But I do know the fact that I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to give him the glory. I'm going to give him all the credit. And even my doctor, who is a Muslim, and I love him to death because he's a good doctor, one of the best when it comes to cancer. But every time he sees me, he says, you're God's miracle. He says, you're God's miracle. When a Muslim can look at you and say, you know, recognize the fact that there's a God out there and you're the miracle, that's a good starting place. And he also told me that he said, when it comes to the end of May, or sometime there in May, he said, I want you to have a talk with all the doctors that I've got in my thing and explain to them all that's going on with you. He wants me to talk to the doctors. It's like, well, you talk to the doctors. They're your people. I mean, you talk to them. He said, well, you know most of them. Most of them come into your bed when you're in the hospital and everything. They've seen you and they know you. I said, okay, that's no big deal. I said, I'll gladly talk to them. But if we put, just like with me, and I'm sure David was the same way, he put God first. He poured it out to God first and said, Lord, help me. I need your healing. I need your salvation. I need your grace. I needed his healing, and I turned to him first. He set up the right doctor. He set up the right hospital. And right now, he's got even the my doctor said there was one thing that amazed him. When I went to Holston Valley, they did a biopsy to find out that I had leukemia. He said that they did such a precise job of doing the biopsy that they actually literally got the DNA off of the leukemia. And he said, we are able to match the pill and the DNA. That's God's hand. You know, that's God's hand 100%. So, you know, if we turn things over, and it may not be a medical situation with you. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's something else you're going through. Maybe it's a family situation. I don't know what your situation is, or I'm not sure what you're going to be going through. But we need to be like David and turn it over to God and say, God, I need your help. Don't go to friends. Don't go, and there ain't nothing wrong with going to friends, but go to God first. Before you go to the doctor's office, before you go to wherever you need to deal with, go to God first. Turn it over to him. Let him handle it. Let him point you in the right direction. Let him take care of everything for you and show you what you need. I guarantee you, things will turn out a lot better. And that's what David did. Let's go down just a little bit before I run out of time. I don't have but just a couple minutes left. Go to verse 11. And I know I've got a lot more I could add in there, and I'm running out of time. Verse 11 says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." David's sitting there saying, I was hurting. I was in misery because of my sin. I was down and out and discouraged and ready to give up. And, it just seemed like there was no help for me. But you heard me, Lord. You healed me. You forgave my sins. You wiped everything clean. And you literally took my mourning, my sadness, my heartaches, my pain and my suffering and everything else. And you took that and threw it away and gave me. And if you'll notice those verses, you take off the sackcloth. In other words, you just pick it off and throw it away. But it says girded with gladness. In other words, it's like a belt buckle or a breastplate that anchors down to you and really fastens to you. It's there to stay. And if you are a Christian of any length of time, you know when God takes you through something and he blesses you and pours out his heart to you as far as answering that prayer, and like in my case, gives you that glory, you just want to sit there, Lord, it's all you. You want to shout, you want to, if I was a Pentecostal, you run the aisles, something like that. But I mean, that's the type of gladness that he's talking about here. Gladness that lasts forever. It's deep down in your soul, and you can't get away from the fact, Lord, you did that for me. And as I think about it, I think about, Lord, you took my cancer away from me? Why? Hallelujah. When we were sitting in the office real quick, and then I'll be done, and my nurse practitioner came in, and she says, I've got some news for you. And I said, okay, because I'd had my biopsy done the last time. And she came in there and she said, you're cancer free. And I started crying. She said, Mr. Daniels, you can't leave this office like that. They'll think I gave you bad news. I said, hon, these aren't tears of sadness. These are tears of joy. And we walked down where the receptionist was down there. And she said, oh, no, you got bad news. I said, no, hon. I said, I got the best news I could have. I said, I'm cancer free. And she said, hallelujah, I've been praying for you. And I didn't know she was praying for me. But she said, I've been praying for you. Said, I knew you, God would take care of you. And she gave me a high five, both hands. And, she just said, that is fantastic. But what I'm saying is, if we turn all our problems over to God first and let him lead and guide and direct and take care of us, I'm not saying he's going to give you the miracle that I got. There's no promise of that in God's word, that everybody's going to be the same. But he will give you peace. He will give you joy through it. He will give you the comfort just like I had in that bed. He'll help you through whatever you're going through as long as you put him first and let him handle it. Don't go to everybody else first. Go to God first. And then let him take care of it from there. Do like David did in here. And then you can sit there and say, Lord, you healed me. Lord, you gave me from the grave. Lord, you took care of me. And then you get the blessing and you can give glory to God. And then you don't ever want to be silent. Spurgeon said one thing, and I'll end it with that. He said, God doesn't want any dumb children in his house. And he's not talking about stupid children. He's talking about dumb a mouth. In other words, he wants you to use your mouth and praise God for whatever blessings he gives to you. He wants his people, he wants his children to speak out and give glory to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the fact that, yes, you healed David, you forgave David. Most of all, I thank you for the fact that you have healed me and you have given blessings to other people in here this morning. Oh, I praise you and I shout hallelujah for all your glory and for all your healing power and for all that you do for us. Thank you. But there's so many more that are in here that are suffering, that need your help, that need your guidance, that need something from you. And I pray to Heavenly Father now that you would just take and touch us. Help us not to be silent when God does something good for us. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.